Okay, Kitav, if I had to ask you, like we're all thinking about the coming year, you know, so the thing we think about when we think about the coming year is we pray for a good year, a sweet year, a nice year, okay? But the interesting thing is that I'm not going to ask each of you individually, but if you ask yourself, what do I want for the coming year? Right, what do I specifically want? What? What does that mean?
Everyone wants good health, shalom bayit, nachat from the children, good parnasa.
Right.
Am I confident?
Health. Wait, what was that?
That was the first.
Parnasa.
Right, but what's interesting is... Okay. Now, what if I ask you... What?
Global. Peace.
Peace?
Meaning like...
Don't be greedy. I mean, global peace, Israel peace, or just peace in the house?
We'll start with Israel peace.
What? See, when you say peace, it's interesting. I think about self-peace, like peace of mind, tranquility within myself, which is like harder, you know, peace in the house, because that's not so simple. Yeah, I don't even mean between myself and my spouse per se. I mean, as we get older, the tension gets ratcheted up. Children's needs have grow and become more pressing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What?
More expensive.
What's interesting to me is that the things that you said are very generic. You didn't say anything specific. I need a new car. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, to redo the kitchen. Or I hope my rose bush finally grows. You know what I mean? Even like... Well, you don't mind. You know, I understand. I mean, you might not care about that per se, or maybe you do care about that, but they weren't specific. But if I'd ask you, what don't you want? You know, what would you like to avoid? It can get very specific, like much, much more specific. It's an interesting phenomenon. And the reason I point this out is because, of course, in Ki Tavoh, the main thrust of Ki Tavoh is the Tochacha. The Tochacha, right? Familiar with the word Tochacha? The rebuke. It's incredibly long, incredibly descriptive essay on all the bad things that will happen to the Jewish people. Right? And before it, there's this nice, you know, what will happen. So it's basically what happens if you keep the Torah and what happens if you don't keep the Torah. Okay, what happens if you keep the Torah? It'll be good. What happens if you don't keep the Torah? No, that's not exactly correct. It'll be very bad, it's true, but how will it be very bad? So there's a glaring disconnect or dissonance, what's the word? Imbalance? Imbalance is the word? Between the good and the bad. Why? Because the good, let's read the good. We'll see the good in a second. And I want to discuss this glaring imbalance between the good and the bad. And I'm going to suggest, based on the Kli Yakar, one reason why this imbalance exists. By the way, if anybody's hot, if it gets hot, let me know. It's hot already? It is.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it is.
The coffee?
For me.
Oh, it's hot?
I'm hot.
Okay. Hold on a second. I'll get the... All right, let's see. Perakavchet. Vaya, im shamoa tishma v'kol Hashem Elokecha. Bye, have a great day. Lishmor la'asot et kol ha'mitzvot mitzvotav. Perak kavchet, verse, perak 28. This is the long perak. This is the perak of the brachot and the klalot.
Pasuk.
Aleph. Lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotav asher anochi misavcha hayom. Unetancha Hashem Elokech elyon al kol gayei ha'aretz. Hashem will make you elyon, exalted. Ubaru alecha kol ha'brachot de'ele b'hisigucha. All these blessings will come upon you. B'hisigucha la'asig. They will... overtake you. The blessings will overtake you. Ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, because you listen to the voice of Hashem. What are the brachot? Baruch ata ba'ir, baruch ata ba'sadeh. You will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the field. Baruch pri bitnecha, pri admatecha, pri behemtecha. Blessed will be your offspring, your pri adama, your produce, pri behemtecha, your cattle. Shigar alafecha ve'ashterot tzonecha. Help? Anyone? Debbie, you're the English. You have it. Verse 4.
Flocks of your sheep and goats.
Flocks of your sheep and?
And goats.
And goats. Okay. Shgar lefecha v'ashterot tzonecha. Shgar lefecha. Weird. Okay, whatever. Baruch tanacha u'mishartecha. Tanatecha are your baskets of fruit. Misharotecha, similarly, your dried fruits. Yiten Hashem et oivecha, baruch atah bebo'echa, ubaruch atah betzeitecha. Okay. Blessed are you when you come in, and blessed are you when you go out. Yiten Hashem et oivecha, kamim alecha nigafim lifanecha, that your enemies that are coming against you should have nigafim, okay, should have afflictions. In one way they will come towards you, and in seven ways they will flee from you. Yitzav Hashem itcha et habracha be'asamecha. Should have the bracha be'asamecha. That's an interesting word. In your storehouses, okay. U'bechol mishlach edecha, everything you touch. U'berechacha ba'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lach. And then we'll be blessed in the land that Hashem gives you. Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh ka'asher nishba lach. Hashem will make you a holy nation. Ki tishmor et mitzvot Hashem elokecha v'halachta bidracha. Because you follow in the ways of Hashem and you go in His path. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. And all the nations of the world will know that the name of God is upon you, is called upon you, and they will fear you. V'hotircha, one second. V'hotircha Hashem l'tova b'fri b'tincha v'fri b'hemtecha v'fri admatecha. Ala adama shenishva Hashem l'avotecha latet lach. You'll have extra. Okay, what we will have extra of? Pribitnicha, pribehemtecha, priyamatecha. Didn't we just say that? Right? Okay, so it's interesting. We've run out of brachot. Okay, so now we're going to say the same thing again. Yiftach Hashem lecha et otzaro hatov et hashamayim latet mitar artzecha beito. So God will open up His good otzar, His good storehouse. What's His good storehouse? What's in that storehouse?
Rain.
So it will rain in its proper time. Uvarecha kol maase yadecha, to bless all of your good the actions of your hands, the things that you make. Vehilvita goyim rabim v'atat lo tilveh. You will be the guy lending the money. You will not be the one borrowing the money. Unatancha Hashem l'rosh v'lo l'zanav. V'ita rak l'mala v'lo l'tiyah l'mata. God will make you as a head, right? A leader, not a follower. You'll be up and not down. Ki tishman mitzvot Hashem elokecha, Hashem anuchim mitzavcha hayom, lishmor v'la'asov. Anybody noticing a theme here?
It's going back.
Right, and saying what? Is it a blessing? Is this a blessing? What's the blessing? It's a blessing, but a conditional blessing.
Yeah, exactly. If you do this, then...
Right, you do this, you'll be good, and it'll be good, and it'll be good, but you're doing this, and remember not to forget to do this, because it'll be good. V'lo tasur mikol ha'dvarim asher anuchim mitzavcha hayom, yamin u'smol. Do not deviate to the right or to the left. And by the way, don't worship idols. How many psukim do we get? A bracha?
14.
14 psukim. What's the bracha? Tell me in your own words. What's the bracha?
If you're good, you're going to have, your offsprings are going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Your land is going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Your cattle is going to be fine.
What's going to be the cause of that happening? It all starts in one thing, by the way. It all starts in one thing. Right. Correct. There's rain. If there's rain, then there's produce. If there's produce, then there's cattle. If there's cattle, then there's financial success. If there's, you know, it all starts from the rain. Et otzaro hatov. And all that's dependent upon, obviously, our willingness and our ability to keep the Torah. And most importantly, not worship idolatry. To maintain allegiance to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's amazing. It sounds so simple. Okay? How do the blessings sound? Is that like, how do they sound? What? Sounds good?
Well, does it say anything about health? It's mostly parnasa, no?
Right. Is health a given? Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, right? Because we always take it, you know, it's interesting. Okay. It's very interesting. Okay. So what happens if you... Then everybody's healthy?
Things are working the way it's meant to work.
Interesting. It doesn't... It's interesting because... What? It's actually interesting that when we say we pray for health, we're not really praying. What are we really praying for? Right. It's like you're praying for a negative. It's not a good. It's the absence of a bad. It was an interesting question. You know, like when I pray for, like you say, parnasa. What kind of parnasa? Same as last year? Like when you go to your boss, you don't say, I'm going to make a living. You say, I need a raise, or, this is the percentage I'm looking for. Do we ever pray for that?
Yeah,
what?
When you're asking.
You pray for a raise?
No, you
Right. It's just interesting that our and this is, I think, correct, and we're going to see, I think it's correct, our prayers for good are amorphous. They're not specific. They're not, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they're not, okay, I want this kid, he's doing the 5 points in, you know, in chemistry this year, and help him get a 97. Why wouldn't you ask for that? Do you want him to get a 97? See, but that's not a question of asking for bracha. That's a question of setting goals in general. Right? Do we set goals that are specific? Mm-hmm. The problem of not setting goals that are specific is then, you know, don't ask it in a blessing kind of way. What goals do you set for your kids? What do you expect of them? If your kid came home with an 82, would you be upset or happy?
Depends also how hard they work.
Right. That's what we all say. Do we mean it?
Yeah, I do.
Right. No, but I'm sorry. Nobody's listening. They don't know who you are. Your kid is capable. Let's say, for example, your kid is capable of a 95 without even trying. And he comes home with a 95. Are you happy? Do we say that to the kid? Like, we say, as long as you do well. See, it's a little unfair because they know that we expect them to do well. You would, even if you know he didn't work for it. My point isn't that your kid or my kid. My point is that we don't think about specifics. We don't set specific goals for bracha. It's like, yeah, let it be good. But now when we turn to klala, right, it's totally different, as we'll soon see. And this is the dissonance that I want to speak about. V'haya, im lo tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. If you do not fulfill the voice of Hashem, lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotah v'chukotah v'asher anuchi mitzavcha hayom, to keep all the mitzvot that I command, ubar alecha kol haklalot ha'ila v'sigucha. You will get all of these curses. Okay, now we start the same way we started then. Aru ata ba'ir v'aru ata b'sadeh. Okay, we had baruch, now we have the same thing in aru. Aru tanacha mishartecha. We had the baruch, correct? Aru pri b'nicha pri abmatecha, shgar alafecha v'asher b'tzonecha. Okay? Aru ata b'vobecha v'aru ata b'tzeitecha. Okay, so that sounds very reasonable. You keep the mitzvot, baruch. If you don't keep the mitzvot, arur. Sounds great. So let's stop here. I mean, give me a couple more psukim about good and bad and general and whatever. Hold on. Yishalach Hashem b'cha et ha-me'ira v'et ha-mehuma et ha-migeret b'chol mishlach yadcha asher ta'aseh ad hishamedcha v'av avadcha meher me'al mipnei ruah me'al alecha asher azavtani. God will send in you, and now I need your help, Debbie. Me'ira is the curses, mehuma is confusion, migeret, I have no idea what that is.
Worry.
B'chol mishlach yadecha asher ta'aseh, no matter what you do, until you are hishamedcha v'ad abdecha, destroyed and lost, v'ibnei roa ma'alalecha asher zavtani, for abandoning me. Yadbek Hashem b'cha et hadaver,
plague.
Ad kaloto otcha me'al ha'adama asher atabah shaman l'vishtad. So you got yakecha Hashem, Kapet, shachefet, ubakadachat, ubadaleket, ubacharchur, ubacherev, ubashidafon, ubayirakon, uidafucha ad ovdecha. Go.
We strike you with swelling lesions.
Swelling lesions.
Fever.
Fevers.
Burning heat.
Mm-hmm.
Thirst. Sword.
Sword.
Wind blast.
Mm-hmm.
And withering.
Withering. Okay, these are all not
will pursue you.
Okay, well. Okay, this is not. These are not. One second. These are not general.
Until you
ad ovdecha for ad avod, until you are gone, lost, until you destroyed. V'hayushamecha asher avoshcha nechoshet. We're gonna read a little bit, right? And the skies above you will be nechoshet, will be copper. V'haaretz asher tachtecha barzel. And the land, barzel, iron, whatever. Meaning what? What does that mean? What, you can't farm. Yiten Hashem et mitar artzecha avak ve'afar. The rain will be dust and dirt. Meaning, it doesn't rain. If it doesn't rain enough, then what happens?
Then the
land dries up, and then wind blows. It blows up the dust. Right, you have all these sandstorms that kill all of the crops. Very interesting phenomenon, I would just point out. Some say that the current civil war in Syria is a direct result of Syria's inability to produce water for its people. Do you remember, like 5 years ago, there was a crazy sandstorm over the whole country? Like maybe 2-3 years ago? What happened was, they say that the Syrians, they ran out of water. All their crops dried up. Right, so now when there's no rain and all the crops dried up, then what happens when the wind comes is it picks everything up, right, and it just blows dust all over the place. It killed all of the crops, forcing all of the Syrian people who are living out in the fields, out in the country, to come into the cities. And when everybody's in the city and there's no food, that causes civil unrest, and that increases the inability of the government to control. So it wasn't about politics per se. It all starts from their inability to feed their people. You know, that causes civil unrest, and now, lo aleinu, you know, you see this terrible war. And nobody really knows why it started, and nobody has any idea how to stop it. None whatsoever. Okay, so this is, Yitenecha Hashem nigaf lifnei oyevecha. You will be destroyed before your enemies. B'derech echad teitzeilav. You will go out to him in one way. This is the opposite of what your enemies did for you, right? Zava. Zava is like Your corpse will be eaten by the birds and the animals. And they're not going to be afraid. Nobody will stop them. It goes on. It goes on forever. Okay, you will have the boils of Egypt. Ubet chorim ubagarav ubachares asher lo tuchal lihirapeh. Go ahead.
Hemorrhoids, wet boils, and dry boils.
That cannot
be cured.
Right. Yakcha Hashem b'shigaon ubi'ivaron. Shigaon, craziness. Ivaron, blindness. Timhon levav.
Confounding of the heart.
Right. By the way, anybody notice timhon levav? You familiar? You recognize that from somewhere? Excellent. In the alchets that we say, one of the alchets that we say, alchets shekatanu lefanecha, betimhon levav. Questioning. Okay? Very interesting. You'll be vahitam emashesh. Look at this language. And this is, I think, is interesting. Because I want to focus on it for I want to point out a certain theme that I saw when I was reading these psukim. Vahitam emashesh b'tzohorayim, ka'asher yimashesh ha'iver ba'afela. And you will be, memashesh means to feel around in the afternoon, like the blind person feels around ba'afela, in the darkness. Now it's interesting, the blind person doesn't just feel around in the darkness. He can't see at all, but that's the idea. You will not be succeeding. You will be, ashuk means people will take advantage of you and people will steal from you. Ve'ein moshia. And no one can protect you. Meaning, people take advantage. What?
Yeah.
The worst possible thing.
Well, we're not done yet. You're just getting started.
Oh no, really?
Well, yeah, you're on Chavtet. We started, how far are we in?
We started in Ketvav.
You're 15 psukim in. There's only another 33 psukim to go.
Of all this?
What? Such an imagination. Yeah, it goes on. Okay. So, wait a minute. What second? By the way, it's interesting. So, what's the imagery Moshe Rabbeinu uses of Mimashesh B'Tzoharayim? It's a fascinating imagery. By the way, it's very fascinating. Well, that's the imagery he's using. Mimashesh B'Tzoharayim? You're feeling around in the afternoon. Like what?
Like a
blind person in the darkness. What? Okay. The idea of feeling around. So what's the idea is you can't see. Is it literally that you can't see? It's from the dust storms that you can't see? What's the idea? What can't you see? What are you not able to see?
The end. Maybe it's like the end of all this suffering.
Yeah.
Like you've got no clarity. You're like something.
Correct. correct. But even more, I think, right, you're ashuk begazu kol hayamim. You're sort of feeling your way around. Like when a person can't see, the inability to see means you have no direction. There's no guidance. You have no path. Why? Because no matter what you do, somebody takes advantage of you. Somebody messes over with you. Somebody kills you. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? Welcome to persecution. That's what it is. There's no path out of it. There's no way out of it. You know, you're like a blind person, you know, feeling around. What's that? No one to save you. Pasuk Lamed. Isha te'ares, v'ish echer, it's red, yish galena. A man marries a woman, and somebody else, he consummates the wedding. Bayit tibane, v'lo teshev bo. You build a house, you'll never live in it. Kerem tita, v'lo techalalenu. You plant your vineyard, somebody else techalalenu will reap the harvest. Sharcha tavuach le'einecha. Your animal is slaughtered before your eyes. V'lo tocham yimenu. You don't get to eat. Chamorcha gazul milfanecha. V'lo yashuv lach. Somebody steals your donkey, not to give back to you. Tzoncha netuno loivecha ve'en lecha moshia. Okay, your sheep are giving to your enemy. Nobody can save you. Banecha ubenotecha netunim le'am acher. Ve'einecha ro'ot, ve'kalot aleihem kol hayom ve'en le'el yadecha. Okay, translate this word. Okay, your children, your sons and your daughters, are given to another nation, and your eyes see. Ve'kalot aleihem kol hayom. What is that?
Pine in vain for them.
You will pine in vain for them all day. Ve'en le'el yadecha. Pri admatcha ve'chol yigiacha yochal am asher lo yadata. Right, you plant, you harvest, and all of a sudden, what happens? Somebody else comes and takes it. V'hayita rak ashuk v'ratzutz kol hayamim. Ashuk means somebody's cheating you. Okay? V'ratzutz, and you will be downtrodden all of your days. Lamedale. This is a pasuk that really, really got to me. V'haya meshuga mimar'e einecha asher tir'e. You will go crazy mimar'e einecha asher tir'e. From the vision in your eyes that you see. Okay? No, not like. Yeah.
It is.
This is the Holocaust before the Holocaust, actually. We only know the Holocaust because it's in our recent memory, and there's media about it. Right. There's a sense of the, like, we understand what it is. Think about the Holocaust of a nation in its land, being slaughtered, being destroyed, and being exiled, and having all these things happen, you know what I mean, here, right, as a country. Like in Chutz La'aretz, in Galut, there's a certain, and I don't want to sound like horrible, but there's an understanding that we're in Galut. Right. There's an understanding that even though it's my house, it's not really my house. And even like Jews, like we knew we don't really belong. What? Mm-hmm. Correct. So when they kick us out, so we've been kicked out from place to place to place. So we say, okay, what's the next place we go to? But there was never that sense like we have here that this is our land, this is where we belong. You know what I'm saying? And to have that happen to you in your house, in your home, is exponentially worse. It's far, far worse. Okay, but I want to focus on this idea of vision and seeing that Moshe Rabbeinu develops from Pasuk Kaftet, or even Kafchet, until Lamedale. How many ways does he point out the idea of seeing and vision in different ways, and how what you see is what really drives home the pain of the punishment. The lack of vision, blindness, inability to see on the one hand. Let's look again. Let's read it again. Vayita mimashesh b'tzarayim. You will feel around in the afternoon. Ka'asher mimashesh ha'iver ba'afela. So here you can't see. What can't you see? You can't see any good. You can't see any blessing. You can't see any salvation. You can't see the path. Lo tatzich et darkecha. Right? The scariness of a blind person, the fright we see is because you have to travel. A blind person has to go from point A to point B. And the problem is in any normal path, there are all these stumbling blocks. So what do we use our eyes to see? Our eyes guide us in order to avoid potential danger. Okay, but instead of avoiding the danger, what are you doing? You don't have your eyes. You can't see. Therefore, you're mimashesh. He's feeling around. He's trying to feel. But really, it's not the same. Everybody knows it's not the same. So what happens to a blind person, lo aleinu, who doesn't have a seeing eye dog, and he's feeling around? He stumbles here. He falls there. Falls into this pit. Like, it's a terrible thing to be able to not to feel. And no one's helping you. Ve'en moshia. There's nobody to help him. So then his lack of vision is a curse. Okay? In the next ones, it's so interesting. In Lamed Aleph, it turns around. It's not that his lack of vision is a curse. His vision is a curse. Right? Because what does your vision see?
Your wife.
Right. Your wife is taken from you. Shorcha tavuch le'einecha. Right? Now, it's not that you can't see. In the curse, right? If you're being cursed, it's better not to see anything. I don't want to know. I don't want to see. I don't want to, out of sight, out of mind. At least I shouldn't be aware of all the terrible things that are happening to me. And in the second stage, now you not only can't you stop it, but it's in your eyes. Okay? Nitunot lo'evecha en lecha moshia, but it's banecha ubenotecha la'am echer ve'einecha ra'ot. Here God says, no, you will see. And you can't do anything about it. Until lamedalid v'hayita meshuga mimar'e einecha asher tir'eh. You go crazy from that which your eyes see. Right? Knowledge is, and the loss and the inability to avert, it's the eye which is the biggest element of the curse. It's the knowledge and the awareness of what was, what isn't, and powerlessness. That's what's so daunting.
It's really harder to see than to not see.
Of course.
Real, you know,
yeah.
Initially we don't see and then we land up in trouble and then we do see it.
What do you mean?
Like initially you land up getting taken advantage of, you don't see the situation, yeah. You know, first you don't
to avoid,
see,
yes.
And you land up in trouble because people take advantage of you and you land up stumbling and you're in the dark and then you do see and you see all the terrible stuff. So yeah.
What's very interesting to me, when I read these psukim, and we never read them because we try to avoid them. Right. What? We're only halfway through. You want to go on if you'd like.
No.
Yeah, go on, you know.
What
really? You want to see? Well, but I wanted to stop on this. Yeah, we'll read on in a minute. I wanted to stop on this point because of this idea of vision, because of this idea of seeing, you know, the importance, and we don't appreciate this lack of vision, the power of the pain of seeing. But also the power of using our vision to avoid stumbling. But there's a deeper reason, I think. Like, one of the big questions that we started with is, like, okay, we got the brachot. Like, 10 p'tukim are bracha. So give me the 10 of klala, and I'm good. Okay, I get it. Yes, no. But no, one second. All of a sudden, like, the 10 of klala, like, explodes into this extremely vivid, you know, clear, very obvious description of klala, of curses, in very, very graphic detail. Yeah, let's go on a little more. Hold on. Wait. Let's skip a little bit. Let's skip a little bit. One second. Here. Yeah, skip to... Nunbet. He goes on. It just keeps going on. Nun Aleph. We'll start from Nun Aleph. V'achal pri behemdecha u'pri admatecha ad hishamdecha. There's ashimdach. There's a lot of repetition. Okay, the non-Jew, the stranger, will eat the fruit of your animals and your land until it destroys you. Asher lo yeshir lecha dagan tirosh v'yitzar shgar alafecha v'ashterot zonecha ad ha'bitevotcha. He's gonna... What?
I forgot to resume.
Oh, well. I upload it usually.
Okay.
Until, you know, remember, all those things he's going to take from you until you be lost. And he will, lehatzer means he will lay siege all of your gates. Until he takes down those, your fortifications that you trust in. And he will afflict you. He will lay you siege in all of your land. You got that?
Oh.
You will consume the children of your stomach. Besar ve'achalta. Besar banecha ubenotecha asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha. Bematzor ubematzok asher yatzik lecha ivecha. You will be so starved from the siege, there will be no food. You will have no choice but to eat your own children. Ha'ish harach becha ve'anog mo, the softest and the most dainty person. Teira eno be'achiv ve'eshet chiko ubiyeter banav asher totir. Teira eno. Translate.
Man among you who is tender and very delicate will turn selfish against his brother.
Turn selfish. What is the phrase, turning selfish? In the Hebrew, how do you say he will turn selfish? In Hebrew?
What are you saying from the text?
Yeah, from the text. What is the phrase that means turn selfish?
Teira
eno. Right. His eye will become ra. His eye will become evil. He will have an evil eye. Ayin hara. He becomes the I have. If I save for myself, not each man for himself. Mitet le'achad mehem bibesar bana v'asher yochel bibni hir shelo ko. From giving to any one of them from the children of, from the flesh of his children, b'matzor u'b'matzok asher yatzik lecha ivecha b'chol sharecha, in this terrible siege. Haraka b'cha, that's the man. Haraka b'cha v'hanuga asher lo nista kaf ragla hatzeg al ha'aretz mitaneg u'meroch. By the way, the stories about this in the Gemara that you've all, I'm sure, heard. Like the most dainty, the most, you know, the most softest woman who never actually walked outside. She will also become selfish. Okay? The ish cheka, the man in her lap, ubibna for her children. Ubishil yata hayotzeit mibein ragleha. And the shilya is the placenta, the afterbirth. Ubibaneha asher teled. And the children that she gives birth to. Kitochleim b'choser kol besater. She will eat them. Lacking anything, she'll eat them in private. Good? Descriptive enough for you? How's breakfast? What are we having for breakfast? What? What is that meaning? What? Like, I couldn't imagine this stuff. But it's interesting. It's not only that you'll eat your own children. Lo aleinu. It's not only that. Rather, how do you compound the fact that the evil of eating your own children? You won't even share them with other people. You'll eat it in privacy by yourself, alone, because you have ra, ayin ra.
This is worse than
eicha.
Yeah.
No, eicha is this. This is it. It's not worse. It's it.
Yeah.
I never got to this. It wasn't a siege like that. Never had the chance. Right. They were never starved. They weren't starved like that.
What, in the Holocaust?
Yeah.
Of course they were.
They all died of starvation, half of them.
Right, but they didn't have the. I don't know. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there.
What I'm saying is, this is really, really depraved. That's what I'm trying to say.
So the question is first of all, it's read it, right? You'll see, by the way, it's not the Holocaust wasn't, it's bad, but this is Eicha. This is what happens when you are in a country and you're laid siege and you're trying to hold on and there's no food. Right? The Gemara talks about stories like this. The Gemara says this exactly happened. The Gemara in Gittin, I think, this is exactly what happened. It fulfilled this pasuk. That there was this very rich woman, and maybe you've ever heard, you know, the very rich woman, and she sent out her servant. She's like, go buy bread. And it's like, comes back, there's no bread. Go buy, you know, fine, buy me barley bread. It comes back, there's no barley bread. Buy me anything. And then the Gemara talks about how, like, the daughter of some rich person, some great rich man, she was straining the excrement from the animals because maybe there was a little bit of barley left from the, you know, in the excrement that the animal purged. Like all kinds of really, really terrible stories like that that describe the suffering of the Jewish people. So, and you're thinking, like, really? I came to the Parsha Shir to hear this? You know? Right? It's in the Parsha, so we ignore it. I mean, we've never done this. I promise you, this year, right? We've never done this? No? Okay. Now you know why. So now let's come back. It seems a little unfair or unreasonable. How come I don't get brachot like that? Okay, you want to give me the klalot? Fine. Give me like 80 psukim of brachot.
Describe the good
in. Yeah, you all have. I don't. Okay. What do you want? That's my question. What do you want? Give me the parallel brachot. Why didn't anybody say anything?
I think just as easily as you could describe this, you could describe good things.
You could? What would you want?
I was thinking what you said before. Like sometimes also it's ambiguous what's a bracha. Like we've all had the experience of going, like of not getting a job that we wanted and then realizing that actually it's better that we didn't get it. It wasn't such a great job anyway. So like you don't always know what's a bracha.
Interesting. I spoke to a rabbi yesterday. I spoke to a rabbi from America, an elderly gentleman, a very distinguished rabbi, because he wants to marry off his grandson. His grandson's getting married here in Israel, and he wants to do the wedding. And I thought to myself, and I said it to him, I said, like, could you think of a greater bracha than that? That you're standing under the chuppah of your grandson who served in the army, is now getting married in the state of Israel? He's like, no, that's pretty much it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what do you ask for? Like if you're not, what you're all thinking, or maybe I don't know what you're thinking. What I'm thinking is nobody ever wants to say anything, because A, it's like not lo matim. You know, do I? Like, okay, what if I say, well, I want a minivan. I'm tired of these tiny cars. I can't fit the kids in the car. I want a minivan. And the doors open and close. Is it? They don't have it in South Africa. They don't have it.
I don't know.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. But then you say to yourself, would you really ask on Rosh Hashanah for a minivan with the buttons? You know what I'm saying? You're like, really? That's really what I need? I said to Rita once, I feel like every time I want something, I could have it, but I have to pay for an Olam Haba. It costs. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because why? I believe that to be true. Because in general, it means you have to do something else. It means you have to do something more. You have to do something different. You have to give up something in order to get something. If that's your goal, you can have it. But what are you giving? What are you paying for it? You know, like, that's a good question.
Isn't that, like, not healthy either? Because then you're always feeling guilty of all the brachot that Hashem does give you. Maybe your attitude should be to...
Take it.
Okay.
And enjoy it.
Go back to, it's so interesting, go back to Perek, Pasuk Tetvav. There's a Kliyakar on Tetvav that really, really, wait, is it on Tetvav? No, the Kliyakar beforehand. Here we are. On Pasuk Che, if you have it, Pasuk Che. Yitzav Hashem Itcha et HaBracha. Okay. Yitzav, see the pasuk Yitzav Hashem et HaBracha, and I think this theme really struck me, and yeah, hopefully it'll strike you too. But just when we saw the idea of the eye and the seeing and the eye, you know what I'm saying? It's so bolet. So once you see this perush that I'm going to share with you, you'll see the opposite of that, and why it is that we're also just uncomfortable asking for stuff. You know what I'm saying? So look at this pasuk Yitzav Hashem Itcha et HaBracha be'asamecha. God will send your blessing ba'asamecha. Osem. Osem is a storehouse. Okay? U'b'chol mishlach yadecha. Now you know why they call the company Osem. Okay? In all of your mishlach yadecha. U'b'erachacha ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God will give you. Okay, what does that mean, ba'asamecha? We said that means storehouses. So those of you who have a farshim, okay, you see, Ibn Ezra says, he translates the word, ba'asamecha, ba'otzarecha, mitam ha-makom, otzar. Okay, osem, asamecha, otzar. You guys have balaturim? Do you have it? Anybody have balaturim?
Yeah, I do.
Asamecha, begematria, zehu samui. Samui, hidden. Zehu samui. Ba'asamecha, take the gematria of the word ba'asamecha, that which is hidden. She'ena bracha mitzuya ela b'davar hasamui min ha'ayin. Chazal taught us there was an ongoing theme. Bracha only comes to that which is hidden from the eye. Right? Bracha only comes to that which is not counted. So therefore, it will come, the bracha will come ba'asamecha, in your storehouses. It won't come with something that's explicit. It doesn't come with something that's in front of your, in your face, but it comes in ways that you don't see. Okay, so, and there's two possible ways of understanding this. So if you have kli yakar, follow with me. If you
don't
just listen.
With the
buttons. Right. Let's look at the key of kli yakar. Okay. I'm skipping in the second paragraph. We learned from this. Everything was described. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu did give them every bracha. I.e., they were promised every good connected all of the bad. Like, it wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you're good, if you're bad, boom! Like, boom, 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 boom. They knew it was, if you're good, you'll have all the good. And if you're bad, you'll have all the bad. So then why is it so disproportionate? Ukesha Amar. See, I'm skipping the next paragraph. Ukesha Amar. Habracha be'asamecha ramaz le'olam haba. Hasamui min ha'ayin. Why? Ki ein habracha mitzuya lo bedavar hamadud v'hamanui ki im besamui min ha'ayin. Okay? The thing, bracha is not measured bracha doesn't come in measurable things. Even if you say, I want the minivan, right? The problem with the minivan is there's always a better minivan. There's nothing wrong with having that minivan. Really nothing wrong, but there's always another step. Companies are really good at this, right? Like, so us, we who live in economy, we dream of economy plus. It's like, I just move my legs. Right, but people in economy plus, business. Okay, and people in business,
first class.
They're dreaming of first class. Right, and people in first class, they're not dreaming of first class. What are they dreaming of? Yeah. Why? Why should I have to fly with all these people? I should go when I want to go. And they're not wrong. Right, but the guy in economy, he's not dreaming of first, he's not dreaming of his private jet. Is he?
No,
it's no. Do you ever? I don't even have a private jet. Just give me a little leg room, a little bit of leg room, and I'll be happy. And we are until we move up. That's not. Is that a bracha? The first time it is, but it's not really.
You get used to all good things.
What do you mean you get used to it? You take it for granted. You assume zemagiali, and then you have the next. You know what I'm saying? So he says, the only Ramad Ramzu Bazesh she'en hatzlachat ha'olam hazeh tachlit ha'bracha. Right? The success in this world is not the essence of bracha. Lefi shekulam davar madur umanui sheyesh lo kitzva ugvul. It has a kitzva. It has a border. It has a boundary. V'sof ve'enam nitzchit. Everything has an end. Chutz mischa olam haba asher ayin lo ra'ata. Who nitzchi, v'hu ikar. Other than the kinyan of olam haba, the greatest bracha you can give are intangible things. You don't ask for like health is really an intangible thing. You want health. What do you really want? I want to feel good and be able to function. You want not to be held back. It's not a tangible thing. Health is a tangible health. It's a lack of something. It's a lack of a. Yeah, right. Okay, that's like when you say bracha, parnasa, what are you really asking for? I think people are asking for, I should have the means to do what I want to do. Right, you say different people ask for different things. My definition of parnasa is not your definition. It's very different. It could be more, it could be less. But again, I'm not asking for something specific, right? God, I would really appreciate it if you would allow me to win the lottery so that I could go and, you know, visit my in-laws, you know, first class. I should have the means to do the things that I need to do. Now, do we look back and see if we have that? Again, it's not something that's tangible. And I think that's the idea, the difference between bracha and klala. Like, when we think of brachot, like, what do we want for our kids? Like you said, do I want, you want them to get a 95? You don't care. You don't care about the grade, the number, the measurement really is meaningless. What we really care about is, A, are my children growing? Are they growing beyond themselves? Are they pushing themselves? Are they moving in the right direction? Are they developing as people? Name me one thing that's tangible and measurable in any of those things. You know, why is it a great bracha to stand under the chuppah with your grandson and, you know what I'm saying? Because you feel like I've accomplished something in life and my children are following in my footsteps, right? Right, and my values are meaningful. None of these things are tangible. And I think that is an important message from this idea. Right? Klalot, curses, are very tangible. Right? Lo aleinu, a person comes down with an illness, and he can't walk, or you know, he's stuck in the hospital, God forbid, or he can't function, or he can't work. Very tangible things. When a person is successful, you know, like, you got a promotion. But, you know, what's my new job? How is it going to go? And there's always that, you know, it's not a tangible thing. Okay, is that good enough? How much more should I do? How much more, you know what I mean? It's very hard to know. That's okay. That's what we want.
Our research paper said that in the social work we did research on mentally ill people. And the questionnaire that we had, the first question we asked was what's mentally healthy?
Mm.
Yeah, now, if you ask a mentally healthy person, they don't know. But then there was the easiest question. We started off with the easiest question. Very easy question. They immediately had to answer what is a mentally healthy person.
Huh.
So if you don't have something, you know exactly.
Okay. If you don't, when you don't have something, then you right. So therefore, let me skip to this and this get at the end of. Al Kain Amar. That's why it says, "Yitzav Hashem itcha et habracha, ki kinyan zehu itcha b'davuk becha." This kinyan of this blessing that's samui, that's hidden, is with you. Shaharei hasharot hanefesh eino chutz mimenu. Hashara, the spiritual growth, the hasharat hanefesh is, what's the word? Hasharot hanefesh, the growth in the soul are internal to you. Tamid hadavar ito imo. Lo ken schar olam hazeh shu meshulach mimenu. Right? The blessings that a person has that are intangible are eternal. The blessings that a person has that are tangible are temporary. They come, they go, they're here, they're there. One day, like I said, 1 year is a good year, 1 year is not such a good year. And that's why, so for this reason, this idea of the ayin, the seeing, it's so much easier to see klala than it is to see bracha. Because klala is tangible and bracha is intangible. And that's why in these alchet, it's interesting, there are two alchets of ayin. Sikur ayin, closed in the eye, the sin of sikur ayin, and then it's, 1 second, there's another one, sarut ayin. Right? The eye is so essential in order to see bracha, to see blessing, and to understand that it's not entirely in what we expect it to be, but it's in the intangible things, the things that are hidden. And that we should expect it less and want it less, but try to find it in the things that are not measured, but in the things that are immeasurable. And that's harder to do, especially in the time in which we live. So, and I think about all the you know, when you're moving forward and they're looking forward to the year, you know, and thinking about what to pray for, it's always the same things. But maybe the thing that we should really be praying for is to open our eyes and to understand what's real blessing and what's not real blessing, like what we need to pray for and work towards and what not to pray for and not work towards. And I think that, like, when we think about it in those ways, like, so often, so much of what we do is focused on measured, on the here and now. And it's not, I think of myself as a parent in that way. Like, we parent in the here and now, we deal from crisis to crisis, you know, trying to get our kids from point A to point B. But is there a plan to try to develop this bracha that's samui min hayin? And how do you develop those things? And those things are much longer term. And come from doing things day in and day out that don't necessarily produce results, but that are much stronger, much more strongly grounded. I know I'm speaking very vaguely, but because I don't want to talk about myself or my kids or whatever. But again, I think that fits. because the brachot are vague. So vague brachot come from, anybody want to help me? What's the word I'm looking for? You have no idea what I'm talking about? Am I really speaking so vague that you have no idea what I'm talking about? What? You hear?
But you're saying that the real brachot is not necessarily,
that
should be aiming for the
brachot. Well, he said, I don't take it in terms of, just to clarify, I don't take it in terms of schar in olam haba. You know, I did the mitzvot and then I get my schar in the world to come. He talks about it in terms of intangibles and the things that a person achieves in this world, right, that become part of him. I become a more compassionate person. I become a more giving person. I come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, don't think about it in terms of, like, you know, in my bank account in the world to come. But who am I in this world? That I take with me in the world to come. That, think about that in terms of Schar Olam Haba. You know, am I a giving person? Am I a less angry person? Am I a more generous person spiritually? Right? Do I see things in those terms? It's so much harder to achieve. But people who have that, can't take that away from them. No matter what brachot they have or what klolot they have. Okay, so just to review. We spoke at the very beginning about the incongruity between the blessings and the curses. Blessings are very vague. Curses are really specific and really frightening. Okay, then we focused in the psukim themselves on the curse of the ayin, of the eye. Right, on the one hand, the lack of vision can be a curse, and then vision itself can be a curse. And this idea of trying to see, and then the eye is very much about the tangible. I want this, I want that, I see this, I see that. So then we came back and saw, at the very end, we saw this essence of the kli yakar, of the idea of the ba'asamecha. And the gematria of osem, it's interesting, there's a halacha, I could have brought you to the gemara, a very famous gemara in Brachot that talks about the idea that a person can daven, let's say, you know, we've definitely spoken about before. I did the harvest, and I haven't counted what I have yet. Right? So I can daven and say, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, you know, I didn't get my paycheck yet. I didn't get my paycheck yet. Please, HaKadosh, and it's Israel, this is especially relevant. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really could use another 10,000 shekel this month. Right? And anybody knows anything about Misrad HaChinuch? Could be, you know. What? I'm telling you, it's like, well, you never, forget Misrad HaChinuch. Yeah, you got this ma'anak from the government, the Misrad HaPnim. We got, like, it wasn't this amount, but we opened the mail one day, and this insurance company sent us a check for 200 shekel. Why? Because we counted and we owe you money. It almost never happens, right? Usually it's the other way around. Right? It could be. You know, Misrad the Bituach Leumi, they did a review and they realized that it happens. What? That happens a lot, okay? So, but it goes the other way around too. You know, the pipe in your front yard burst, and now you got to fix it and do the, you know. Oh, you got it?
Yeah, pipe in my.
You happened to you too?
Yeah.
It happened to me. I had three pipes burst. They must have increased the water pressure.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, a month ago.
I think it was there.
A month ago.
Our neighborhood.
Mine was a couple of weeks ago.
A lot of money to fix.
And how come there's no water pressure in my shower? I have no idea. Anyway, is that, can I ask for that bracha of good water pressure in the shower? Anyway, okay, this idea of exactly that. So the Gemara says, before you open the paycheck, you can, even if it's in your hand, you can still daven that it should be good, it should be better. Once you open it, it's too late. That bracha comes samui min ha'ayin, when you can't see it. And if you think about that, right, so that he says so much of our blessings are measured in things that are like that are hidden, you know, that are not measurable, that are not tangible, that are not concrete. And that's how we have to see things. Pray for intangible blessings. And that's, I think, that when we started, I said, what do you want? Nobody wanted to say anything, either because they didn't want to say, or because of this reason. Because the things that we want, you know, get this job, or get this grade or that grade, we don't really care. But did you work hard? Are you growing as a person? Those are much more intangible, not measurable things. And those are the real brachot.